Leaning Toward Wisdom, it is a special episode. Going Dark, the Value of the Pause.
Shadows are falling, I've been here all day. It's too hard to sleep, time is running away. Feel like my soul has turned into steel. Still got the scars of the sun didn't let me heal. It's not even room. Sense of humanity is going down the drain. Behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain. She wrote me a letter, and she wrote it so kind. She put down and write what was in her mind. I just don't see why.
They are Shelby Lynn and Allison Moyer, a duet record that they recorded this year in 2017. This is the title track, a Bob Dylan tune. The title of the record is Not Dark Yet. It's also the title of this song.
Cape heavy, I followed the river, and I got to the sea. I've been down to the bottom of a whirlpool of life. I ain't looking for nothing in anyone's eyes. Sometimes my burden. And I'll die here against my will. I know it looks like I'm moving, but I'm standing still. Every nerve in my body is so naked and numb. I can't even remember what it was I came here to get away from.
Shelby Lynn and Allison Moyer, released August the 18th, 2017, and you should buy it. I did. In fact, I bought it the day it came out. Not Dark Yet. Hey, greetings. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm bringing you a special episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom, Lord willing. Today is Monday, December the 11th, 2017. Lord willing, on Friday, I will release another episode. So if all goes well and the schedule holds, got, after today, two more episodes before we'll wrap up the year. On Monday, a week ago, December the 4th, 2017, I began another social media fast. This is something I do a few times a year, maybe two. There might have been a year. I'm sure there's been a year where I've done it more than twice, but I typically will do it at least twice a year, just kind of take a break. I call it a social media fast. I don't know that that's completely accurate. I'll explain. Every time I do this, I get questions about why I'm doing it, what does it mean, and all sorts of other surmisings that people who know me or follow me ask. And I've answered these questions many times before, but I don't think I have really formally done it. So I'm going to take advantage and do that. If you're inside the Facebook group, and if you're not, then I don't know what your deal is, but go to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com, and you will see a link there where you can click it and enter the Facebook group. But I posted much of this over there a week ago. There are some compelling reasons for going dark, as they say, which is obviously why I picked that song to open the episode with. Among them is it quietens down the racket that surrounds us, and for people like me, a lot of the racket inside our head. You know, it can improve the constant comparisons that we tend to make as we listen or watch or interact with other people. It can lower stress. It can vastly improve our face-to-face interactions. I find that it can elevate self-control, especially when it comes to your emotions and your thoughts and, well, just huge benefits. It can help us practice greater presence in the interactions that we do welcome into our lives, because that gets increasingly more difficult, you know. You're talking with somebody and they're on their phone, or they're talking with you and you're on your phone, or you're both talking to each other and you're both on your phone. And it can be kind of difficult to be in the moment, to be present. So sometimes what I'm calling a social media fast, and it's really more of a kind of a digital fast, we can provide ourselves with more time and maybe an improved frame of mind for getting our own stuff accomplished instead of, you know, focusing so much on what other people are doing. So I would highly recommend it. And if you've never tried it, you should at least give it a go. Now, I got a confession to make. Those of you that have been following me for any length of time already know this, so I'm not going to be divulging anything terribly new to you, but maybe. I've not been so much a big hearty believer in assessments, personality assessment kinds of things. I've taken them and I find some value in them. I think some people can take these things as being just so completely empirically true, and I'm not sure that that's the case. I think when we're dealing with brains and personalities and tendencies and emotions, I mean, boy, these things are, I mean, there's a lot going on there, right? So when you do things like the DISC profile or the Myers-Briggs or even StrengthsFinders, and I think they're all valid and I think they're all worthwhile, and I'm a fan of all of them, but particularly when you think about the Myers-Briggs and you think about the personality types that research seemed to bear out, I've taken this test multiple times in my life. Throughout my life. And every single time I end up with what is called the INFJ. And I would love to tell you that I know all about Myers-Briggs and I can fully explain all that. I cannot. I do know what I have read about it. And I only bring it up because it does play a vital role in my decision to do this. Not that I'm making some strategic, tactical, technical decision, but I at least now understand why I do these sorts of retreats, if you please, why I hit the pause button. Let me read you a little bit from various sources on the internet about the INFJ personality type. And it typically is kind of called the advocate. The INFJ personality type is very rare, making up less than 1% of the population, but they nonetheless leave their mark on the world. As diplomats, they have an inborn sense of idealism and morality, but what sets them apart is the accompanying J trait, the judging trait, because INFJs are not idle dreamers, but people capable of taking It's one of those days, kids. INFJs are not idle dreamers, but people capable of taking concrete steps to realize their goals and make a lasting positive impact. INFJs tend to see helping other people as their purpose in life. But while people with this personality type can be found engaging rescue efforts and doing charity work, their real mission, their real passion is to get to the heart of the issue so that people need not be rescued at all. Super resonates with me. And years ago, when I first took it and was given the assessment, and I remember reading some things about it, and I don't know if I was in high school or college, but it was one or the other. And as I read some of the things about, I thought, man, you know, I mean, it was like, I don't know. It was like a veil had been lifted and I could suddenly, okay, I get why I'm kind of wired differently than a lot of folks. The thing about my personality, whether you believe in all this stuff or not, but the way that I'm wired is that there is a point that, and I sense it, I always can sense it coming, but there's this point where you just realize that you've not taken care of yourself and you're just depleted. And I never really had a sense of that earlier in my life. And I don't master it very well at all today. In fact, I do a really poor job of it, to tell you the truth. And some have called it kind of living to fight another day, because the passion for my convictions and the degree to which I engage other people and, I don't know, the zeal or the passion or whatever you would call it, that I invest in helping other people and doing what I do is just exhausting. And it's like the very thing that fuels you depletes you at the same time, but you don't notice it until it really starts to hit you. I am mostly energized when I'm engaging and helping people. I can't explain it. It's just true. I'm least energized when the focal point is on me. I'm least energized when it's not about trying to help somebody else. That's just how it rolls. The problem is because empathy is so crazy high. And some people will argue, well, the problem with your empathy being that high is you tend to just own it, which for me is not entirely true. I completely respect the other person's ability to own whatever they're going through and whatever their feelings are. And just because I'm empathetic does not mean that I own it as well. Here's what it does mean. It does mean that you have to give yourself to a certain degree. If you're wired like I'm wired and like other people who may be wired similarly, in that we are so empathetic and we're pushing hard to try to help get to the root of the problem, and we find ourselves just getting to a point where we sense something isn't right. You just can feel it going south. And for about 2 weeks, maybe three, I've that's where I've been. I've had this real strong sense that the tank's getting really empty, like really, really empty. And the problem with this is you can't just stop, right? Life goes on and things go on and people go on. And depending on what kind of roles you have in life and the number of hats that I wear and the kind of work that I do and the kind of stuff that I want to do and have done is always helping people with their issues, their problems. And as much as I hate having to do it, you hate that people have problems, but we all do. And you're just so stinking honored to be the person who gets the phone call, right? And the person who gets the email and the person who gets the text message and the person that people reach out to is just there's no feeling that can describe it for me. I mean, it's just great and terrific that people view you that way. And that's a really, really important thing. And so there's the paradox of it all, that as honored as you are, and as much as that's who you want to be, because that's who you are, which is absolutely the case for me, you just find yourself reaching a point where I can't go anymore. I've got to do something. And usually when you see me go on what I call a social media fast, that's where I'm at. I'm at that point. I'm at that point where I've got to hit a pause button and I have got to go dark. And if I don't, well, I don't know. I don't want to find out either. Now, the thing about INFJs, if you believe the research, is that we need quiet time alone to recharge. And I'm perfectly comfortable being alone. And that has never been a problem for me. And in the midst of pretty intense stress, as much as you need the interaction of other people, and I do, but you get to a certain point, which is where I've been headed in the last 2 to 3 weeks, you just kind of need to shut off, because if you don't, well, like I said, I don't know what would happen. I've never pushed it to find out, because you just reach a point where you can't go anymore. I don't know that I would even have the opportunity to find out what that would look like, because it's like you run out of gas in your car, and what's the damage? Well, you run out of gas. You just run out. It just stops. I mean, you don't, you have no say in it. You push the pedal all you want. It ain't going anywhere. And for me, it's much the same. It's much the same thing. Now for me, I've had a really I've done a bad job of learning how to stop, other than just, you know, you get to a point and you just have to take a break. And because I'm so intuitive and I'm super intuitive and I'm very attuned to other people, I'm very attuned to the social surroundings and what's going on. And as intuitive as I can be, even about myself, you just tend to kind of ignore it. Right. And you just tend to keep going and you just keep going and you keep going until finally you just can't. Or you sense that you can't. So through the years, I've done quite a little bit of research and quite a bit of reading. And of course, these things were a little bit easier in life before the internet. I mean, come on, little doubt. Because the level of interaction was not, and the 24/7, 365 availability that we had to one another, that was different too. So if anything, the internet world and the digital age has only amplified it for me and made it where I've got to more intentionally kind of step back. Now here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that I stop producing content. It doesn't mean that I stop podcasting, for instance. It doesn't mean that I won't post content. It doesn't mean that I won't post content. Even there are some pages, for instance, at Facebook where I serve as an admin, and And here's the big thing. This is the really big thing, because this, especially in my personal life, this is something that tends to come up. It doesn't mean that I'm angry. This is where, you know, for a person like me, when you're so accessible and you're so Johnny on the spot and you're so the guy that people call and you're so the guy that people email and you're so the guy that people text and you're just responsive. And then you want to try to hit the pause button, and then people immediately want to, well, you're mad at me. Why are you mad at me? And so you have to deal with that too, right? It's like, okay, like I don't have enough going on. Now I got to deal with the fact that you think I'm hacked at you, and I'm not hacked at all. You know, it doesn't, anger has not one thing to do with it. So I can, that's probably the biggest one. The biggest one is I have to tell people that. The second biggest one for me in the past is that I've got to continually reassure people, which is kind of crazy, right? You're kind of trying to go dark. You're trying to hit the pause button, and yet it's like the engagement just amplifies the more you try to go dark. And people say, well, just do it and don't tell people. Well, that doesn't work. I've tried that. Trust me, that does not work at all. That really presents problems, because then people really start reading between the lines. So the reason that I even come out and say it is to try to head it off, and that doesn't work either. But the second biggest one, the first one being, well, are you mad at me? No, I'm not mad at you. The second one, well, are you okay? Right? I mean, they figure that you're in some kind of mental distress. And I get it. I completely get it. But no, I'm not. This is not a depression. It's not some, I've not been diagnosed with anything. I'm certainly not suicidal. I'm not pondering anything evil or sinister. Another one is that, you know, you've got negative feelings. Is this a result of, I mean, did you get into it with somebody? Or are you mad at somebody? Is somebody mad at you? You know, it's not that people think that you're angry with them, but they wonder, is it somebody else? No, it isn't. It doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that I suddenly gave up caring about other people. It doesn't mean that, you know, I suddenly don't want to know what's going on with people. That is not even humanly possible for a person like me. And I guess most of all, it means it's not permanent. It's not permanent. It's just, I can't liken it to anything that I think anybody could relate to, other than when you're out of fuel, you've got to go refuel. And until you refuel, you're not going anywhere. I mean, I don't care how well the engine is running under normal circumstances. No fuel, no go. And I get to a point, and like I said, I really got to this point. Well, I really got to this point last weekend, and it's not gotten much better, by the way, partly because I've got this horrible cold, and so lack of sleep is, you know, which I'm a hopeless insomniac anyway, and so that has only made things worse. It's just exaggerated at all. Let me tell you what it does mean. It does mean that it's just time for me to hit a pause button. And it means, well, for email, I can tell you right now, it means I'm letting the inbox pop. I don't care about, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and he was talking about how he'd been traveling all over the globe, and he got back home, and, you know, he's like 350 emails that he really needed to deal with. And I said, you know what you should do? You should just declare email bankruptcy, you know, which I have done before. And if you've not heard that, there's nothing new about it. You just blow your inbox up and you just don't care. You know, mark every message as read. If you really want to be bold, delete them. Now, I don't do that. I'll mark every message as read, and I just pretend they didn't exist. I didn't get them. Because here's what will happen. If they're really important, they're going to email you again. Come on, we all do it. That was my advice to him. I'm not saying that I've done that or that I will, but I might do it. My phone has been the biggest hurdle. Phone and texting has been the biggest hurdle. And normally under these kinds of circumstances, I let my phone go to voicemail pretty much 100% of the time, unless it's immediate family. And that way I can return a phone call when I want to. Now, I will tell you that for this first week that I've done this, because I started this last Monday, okay, I kind of sort of did. I haven't done a good job of this. Usually I'm much better at just letting the phone go to voicemail. And then I just, okay, if it's a phone call I want to return, I do it when I feel like doing it, which I know sounds terribly selfish. And I don't mean it that way, but I kind of sort of do. The text, texting is how we communicate today. I don't care what age you are. It's just how we communicate today, by and large. It is for me. And the text just can go on and on and on and on. And as much as I love texting, I hate text. I have this really love-hate relationship with texting. The texts are, for me today, the most problematic, because people will text, and if I don't get back with them within minutes, certainly within an hour, then the blitz just can, I mean, they just blow me up, because now they're thinking, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, right? Because I'm normally pretty, you know, we get tied up and things happen, but it's going to be pretty rare for me to go more than an hour without responding to a text sometimes. And so when I don't, oh boy, that really sets people off. I mean, they really start to wonder. It does mean that I will focus and concentrate on the things that are most important to me. Again, I've done a really rotten job of that here in first week. So starting today, the 11th of December, 2017, I'm going to try to do better, because there are some things I need some time to plan and strategize for next year, and some big things that I really want to do. And a person like me, you just realize, man alive, the whole year's gone. And what have I done? And I can throw out a litany of things that I've done that involved other people. But then you get to realizing, you get to looking at your own book, right? I mean, you've read everybody else's book, and you've helped everybody else write their book. And meanwhile, your book's there your book sits with a bunch of blank pages. I mean, that's kind of how you feel. And so I commented over at the Facebook group and in the blog post for this episode that I'm going to be shutting out what I choose to shut out based on my need for rejuvenation. And that's really the best word I can throw at you for this, is rejuvenation. How long is this going to take? Boy, I always get that question. And I'm like, I don't know. It's going to take, how do you know? I don't know. I know the capacity of the fuel tank on my car. The problem that I've got is I don't know the capacity here. That's why I got in this mess in the first place. If I knew the capacity, when I sensed the capacity getting low, then I'd be like, okay, let's just kind of slow down or something. Let's kind of recharge along the way. Okay, well, I don't have the ability to do that. I'm too stupid to figure out how to do that. So you just go and go and go and go, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then the minute you say that to yourself, when you're my personality type and when you're wired like me, the minute you first say to yourself, I don't want to do this anymore, you know something's wrong, because this is what you live for. This is what you do. This is who you are. And all of a sudden it's like, I need one more person to call me with a problem, and I want to blow my brains out. I'm kidding. I don't mean that literally. But you kind of sort of feel that way. You know, you're just empty, drained, out of fuel. So you know it's time to do something. And if you could sense it coming before it got to that point, well, that'd be great. And I'm sure that there's somebody out there who's wired like me, or similarly enough like me, that they've got that all figured out, but not me. You know, sometimes the lesson is you need to consider your own needs, and you need to do what you got to do so that you can be the best version of yourself. And I have realized for the better part of a month that I'm not operating at high efficiency, and I haven't been operating at high efficiency for a good long while. I mean, this year has been this year's been a taxing year in a lot of ways. There have been a lot of people with a lot of problems this year. It's also okay to say no. And I know this, and I commonly coach people about this, that it's okay to say no, and that no is a complete sentence. You don't owe people explanations. And while I don't feel like I owe people these explanations. I want to give these explanations. Sometimes we just need time to focus on our own agenda. We need time to focus on our stuff. And people that are wired like me, and I've met a few, and we will all tell you, everybody will tell you, who's wired like me, that you just grow weary of having conversations that begin and end with what's going on with the other person. And you can get yourself into a place, and this is in your head now, I'm not blaming anybody, and I'm not excusing anything, but you can get yourself in a place in your head. I can get myself a place in my head where it's like, you know, I don't want it to be about me, but yeah, every once in a while you'd like, yeah, I could use some help, you know? And who do you call? It's interesting to me. I've asked other people who have similar wiring, who do you call? And you'd be surprised at how many of these people say, I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody I can call. And, you know, you've got all these people who can call you and lay it all at your feet, and you don't feel like you got anybody that you can call and lay anything at their feet. And I'm smart enough now, and I'm old enough now to realize that that is not so much a problem of the people who surround us as it is our problem, right? It's our problem because we're the advocates, right? We're the people out here carrying the water. We're the people out here doing this work. We're not supposed to be the people who solicit this or need the. And it sounds terribly self-righteous that I started to say the people who need the help. And yet we absolutely positively will be the first in line telling you, we know we need help. We know we've got shortcomings. We know we've got stuff and issues and stress. But here's the message for you, and the reason I hit record today, not just to let you know these kinds of things, but to hopefully share with you what's going on with me so that you can make application for yourself. Again, it is about me, but it's not about me. It's about me in the context of helping it be about you. Because maybe you need to go dark. And I don't mean that you shut out everybody. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going into a cave and hiding. But I am talking about the kinds of things that I've mentioned so far of, you know, just quietening your world, right? I mean, so many people that I talk to, most everybody that I talk to, they just would like things to be a bit simpler. And we live some really complicated, sophisticated lives. But you can make things simpler. Now, I'm not saying that you can keep it that way, but you can certainly make things simpler for a period of time. And if going dark, if hitting the pause button is what it takes, then do that. And maybe you're better than me. Maybe you're smarter, wiser, and have much more prowess at this than me. And you can hit a pause button for hours, maybe minutes. Man, can you imagine? That'd be great. See, I can't. I just don't. I do not have the capacity to do that. I don't have the know-how. Nobody's taught me that. If you're out there and you can teach me that, I'm anxious to learn. I need days or weeks. Just telling the truth, man. I'm just making a confession here. Because it takes me that long. Now, maybe it's that I haven't figured out the best place to go fuel up. You know, maybe the pump that I park myself in front of, maybe that pump just doesn't pump very fast. I don't know, but it takes a while. It takes a while because I've got to process it, right? I've got to work through it. And it certainly doesn't help when I know I can't get rest and I haven't been able to get rest. And there have been a number of things that have just, you know, there are things that come up and you can't hit pause. You know, at church we had the death of one of our oldest members. He's been away for a few years in an assisted living home. And so we've got his funeral this week. These things happen. You know, you can't just stop the world And you can't just shut yourself off and go, I don't care what happens between now and 2 weeks from now, I'm doing nothing. You can't do that. You know, if we could do that, that might would make a difference, but we can't. Life does go on. And this was an important man for a lot of us. And, there's no way I would ever go dark on something like that. So things like that happen, right? And we just have to deal with it. And we just have to move on. But it does make refueling. It just slows it down a little bit, but that's okay. I don't mind that. I really don't. So be in touch with yourself, I guess, is the bottom line message here. Just know yourself and understand and this is a time of the year when stress is high. And there's all kinds of reasons for that I'm not going to go into because I've already droned on here too long. But dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever stresses there are in your life, man, work hard. And I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to work harder. Let's work harder at trying to figure out the best ways to deal with those things and to cope effectively with those things. I do just think it's important for people to understand where we're at and where we're coming from and what's going on. And so for me, the list of things that I kind of wrote that it doesn't mean, that really is more important than the list of what it does mean. Mostly that it means I'm not angry, I'm not mad at anybody, and that I'm not in some kind of mental trouble. I'm not suffering something that where I'm in any kind of danger. I'm just exhausted, right? Just run out. Hey, let's end this, shall we? I'm going to play again. This is Shelby Lynn and Allison Moyer. It's from the record Not Dark Yet. I'd tell you how much it was, but I don't remember. But you can find it anywhere downloadable music is sold. It's a very, very good record. There are 10 tracks on this song. It's these are two ladies that are, you know, I probably more known for country-ish kind of stuff, folk-ish kind of stuff, and it's in that vein. But they're just, you know, their harmony is good. They're just, I don't know. They're just good. The name of this song is The Color of a Cloudy Day. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Welcome and greetings inside the Yellow Studio.
can never find you.